If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
The last thing you need is to tell that person it's an easy process to use their IRA to do it. And so you great conversation, you wraps up good, you shake hands, you walk out the door. And then within the next few days, it's falling apart because they think it's a difficult process.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Scott Maurer is the Director of Business Development for Advanta IRA. Scott shows individuals how to use their IRAs and 401ks to invest in multifamily real estate and also helps syndicators realize the potential to raise capital from the trillions sitting in retirement accounts. Scott is a licensed attorney in the state of Florida and works with individuals and companies nationwide. Scott, welcome to the show.
Sam, hey, great. Happy to be here. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on and chat. We've talked, you know, with other IRA providers, not everybody's the same, but we've talked with some other IRA providers really on kind of the form and function of self-directed accounts. And so today I would really love to spend more time with you, if we can, really discussing the capital raise side, what that means for us as active sponsors and syndicators of deals. So, you know, where we start on that topic, I don't know, that's up to you. But really, that I think is going to be a fun thing to talk about today. So really just love to kind of hear your insights on that and when kind of, yeah, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I think you brought up a point. You've had other people on, or people that are probably listening to this podcast. More and more people are becoming familiar with self-directed IRAs, what they are, a little bit how they work, and what's involved. I think that's one step of it. I think for individuals who are looking for investments, you know, that's important for them to obviously know what a self-directed IRA is and how they work and what's available to them. But I think it's equally important, or more so even for the people who are out there raising capital, the syndicators who are, you know, raising several hundred thousand or a few million dollars worth to make their next investment, understand self-directed IRAs from that standpoint. And this being a vehicle that can help you raise additional capital, and really why people are maybe sometimes more inclined actually to use their IRA funds than they would be their personal savings. I think it's always that, from what I've done in my business, looking at it from the two sides. You have the individual investor who's trying to place their IRA money, but then you also have the people who are raising capital, you know, always looking for additional sources. And why, again, my opinion, why self-directed IRAs are easier sometimes to raise capital from than other sources.
Right. And why are people more inclined, do you think, to use retirement funds than they are necessarily just, you know, free cash they may have sitting in a checking account?
I think kind of, you know, a lot of people, when they look at their IRA, they look at their 401k, they think of it as if they're 45, 50 years old, this is money I'm going to be using, you know, 15, 20 years from now, potentially. This is my retirement fund. I'll tap into it when I'm retired to help pay bills, go on vacations, et cetera. And they're not thinking about that as a potential source of funds now. If they were to get laid off, if they were to lose their job, some kind of medical emergency, people have their savings accounts. If you're doing it properly, you know, saving up, and that's your rainy day fund. And that's the money you want to have immediate access to. You know, the IRA or the 401k typically is the last place, you know, due to the taxes and the penalties that are involved with pulling money out. That's the last place somebody is going to look to pull money from for an investment. They want to have that money available now, if they have that medical emergency. But when you're looking at an IRA or a 401k where I'm not going to touch that money anyway for 15, 20 years. If somebody presents me with a 3 to 5 year investment, I'm fine locking that money up now. I wasn't going to touch it anyway in the next 5 years. So I can put that money, I don't have to worry about it. I can keep my rainy day fund where it's at. So again, I think for a lot of individuals, that can be, again, that's why a self-directed IRA is easier, because it's money that I wasn't planning on using anyway, and I can still take advantage of this investment opportunity.
Right. So what are some things as syndicators or active deal sponsors that we should be aware of when taking IRA funds?
I think the one thing that comes up not too often, but I think especially for people maybe who are getting started, is the rule on, you know, the rule, self-directed rules about, you know, who an individual's IRA can invest with. And for people I've seen that are starting out, as a syndicator where it's like, hey, I'd like my dad to invest his IRA with me, or I want to put my own IRA funds into the deal. And the prohibited transaction rules with the IRAs prohibit, generally speaking, those types of investments. I think, again, as people are getting started with their syndications and they're new to the world, that's the place a lot of people look for the money, right? The friends and family. Well, when it comes to family, you need to be very careful about which family members that you're raising capital from. I think from the broader picture, when you talk about with, you know, people who've been doing syndications for a while or even beginners, it's also the time components. The one thing that's great about a savings account is that I could see your deal today, write you the check tomorrow, and we're done. With an IRA account, it does take typically at a minimum of a week, sometimes, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, depending on where your investor source of funds are. And that's something we try to help out with at Advanta when we're talking to that investor, is identifying where the funds are currently out. Is it an IRA? Is it an old 401k? Because that's going to affect the timing. So I think that's the important part when someone you're talking to an investor about a self-directed IRA, is just understanding that time component is going to be lengthier than, again, someone just writing a check to you out of their savings account.
Right, right. And I've certainly run into that on capital raises where people want to use self-directed funds, but haven't taken the time to set up a self-directed account. And so, you know, usually the window on those opportunities is very short. It's, well, you're not gonna be able to get this set up, funded, and then, you know, checks cut and then back to us as the deal sponsor in the next 48 hours. It's just not going to happen.
Right, right. And again, that's, you know, like you said, we try to do what we can up front to make that less painful, but there's only so much we can do. We can't control, you know, Fidelity or Schwab or someone transferring the funds to us. So it is, that's the difficult part. And that's where, you know, we, again, try to educate a syndicator up front that when you're talking to your, that initial conversation you have with the investor, you know, most people don't sign up the first day you talk to them. Right. They're going to want to think about it a little bit, but introduce that concept up front so that that is something they're looking at pursuing, that they can get that ball in motion well in advance of when your closing is going to be.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Other than just talking to investors, you know, that we know or that enter our network about, you know, hey, using self-directed IRA accounts, I think one of the things that you mentioned is that there's trillions of dollars sitting in these accounts idle. And I know I'm guilty of it. I've got IRA accounts that are smaller balance, even especially smaller balance accounts, that's doing nothing. It's like, I need to do something with that, but it's not painful, right? It's just sitting there doing its own thing. And I think there's lots of people like me, probably even with much larger balances, doing nothing with it. How do you connect? What's a good way to connect with those people? Let's say it's a 506c raise, right? So you can advertise this stuff. But is there an effective strategy for letting people who have flush IRA accounts or flush retirement accounts that they're self-directing, hey, I'm here? Is there any opportunity? Like, talk to us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any magic solution to that issue, because it's all ultimately about getting in front of people, right? And talking to them and you getting their attention to talk about it. I think, you know, when you're able to advertise, I think, you know, if you're listing, you know, different ways for people to invest, including that as a way, you know, IRAs, old 401ks, dormant 401ks, maybe figuring out what some of those pain words as well, like idle, like you just said, Sam, idle 401ks, right? You know, trying to push that button on someone going, oh yeah, I really need to be doing something with that money. And then here you are presenting with that opportunity or at the same time, you know, consolidating your IRAs and invest with us, you know, things like that. I think certainly as you're trying to reach out to new investors, that is a little bit tougher road, obviously trying to get someone's attention. You know, I've also told people, you know, when you're new to self-directed IRAs as a capital raiser, you know, the good thing about that is you have an existing investor database that presumably hasn't been using their IRA with you. That's a great place to go back and market and attract funds from right away. Talking to your existing investors, hey, here's a tax advantaged way to invest with us, or do you have another deal coming up? Here's a different way, a different bag of money that you can use. But I think when you're going out and attracting new investors, it's again trying to include these different avenues that maybe people haven't heard about. When you mentioned using an IRA, consolidating an old 401k, you put that idle 401k to use, that starts to trigger people a little bit into thinking of what they can do. And especially, I think that this is different. Hey, this Sam guy sounds neat because he's telling me I can do something with my 401k. I haven't heard that before. So that's going to pique some interest as well. And then obviously, you know, selling them on your investment is the next step.
Right, right. Do you think in your professional experience, is it easier in a retirement account and syndications to do debt only, or does it not really matter? Because I know this gets into UBIT and we need to consult tax accountants and or accountants and all that stuff. So I'll make your disclaimer for you. Yeah. But like, is it in the end easier just to say, hey, you can come into our deal as a debt partner, and we you pay the coupon, we clip the coupon and pay you, and then at the end you get your money back and off you go? Or, I mean, is it really the same for us as sponsors if we bring them in on the equity side?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I think it's always, because part of the hard part that you have as a syndicator and that other people have too, is obviously you want to kind of, in a sense, sometimes when that person's there ready to get you the money, you're more willing to do what they're willing, you know, hey, is that, you know, do you want to be an equity partner or rather be a debt partner? What their preference is where you might lean in on. I think in general, it's easier to be a debt partner though, because the UBIT issue, the unrelated business income tax is not an issue in that situation. And so you're not going to be, as a sponsor, you're not going to get those questions at the end of the day or the request for additional tax information. I had that come up recently with a syndicator that we work with, where one of our clients is asking for more information than maybe typically is even needed for the UBIT filing, but their investor is asking for it. So I think it can create a little bit more work, but typically when you're doing the K-1s, maybe there's no difference those first few years because UBIT doesn't apply much in the first year or two of an investment, even as an equity partner. But I think debt partners, it is certainly an easier way to do it, especially when you have someone that is very concerned about it. You know, how can I eliminate this UBIT question? You know, even though I'm being told it's not that big a deal, or I don't necessarily think it is, I just don't want to deal with it. The debt partnership is the easier way to go, where it just eliminates it from the equation.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And that's something that's been a common feeling of mine, having placed both money, own capital via retirement accounts, and then also having brought money into our deals from retirement accounts. And it's kind of this, like, gosh, I don't know which one's easier for me. Is it just being a debt partner? Because I know that you guys are going to pay me and then I don't really have to worry about filing anything and it's off we go. Then you start triggering UBIT and other things, it becomes a much more complicated deal. What are some things that you see deal sponsors doing that are kind of complicating the wheel, if you will?
Not too much, to be honest. I mean, it's, again, I think as we talked about already, it's the timing issue is what can complicate things for sure. When you're not allowing enough time and you're trying to get someone in at the end of the project and it's, you know, there's no time to get that done. I mean, I can tell you on our standpoint, one thing we like to do, I guess, this is maybe more of an internal complication for Advanta. What we do is when you have a new investor, you know, sometimes the syndicator will get the subscription document completed in advance by the client, whether it's everything signed in the client's name and it's signed with the client's social. And by the time it gets to us, we need to go back and actually revamp that a little bit and make sure that the subscriber is the IRA account, not the individual. And it's our tax ID number being used, not the individual's social. So sometimes it can be easier as a syndicator. One thing we like to do actually is if you have your investor, just say, hey, provide us with that subscription agreement up front at Advanta. And when you send your investor over, we'll help them get that done. We can talk to you in advance about what you need and how it works, but let us do some of that work. And that way we can make sure that the subscriber's name is exactly the IRA up front. We use our tax ID. We get the client to initial and sign off on it. And actually letting us do a little bit of the legwork, not always a big deal, but sometimes the client gets frustrated. Hey, I already filled this out once with the syndicator. We're like, well, we have to do it a little bit different now with the IRA. So I think that's one way to uncomplicate things is to let the self-directed provider work with them a little bit on let the client give us that paperwork in advance and we can template it out and make it very easy to complete going forward. I think that makes the process smooth for everybody, even though, you know, it doesn't always work that way. I think that's one thing I've seen that complicates things. And again, it's hard to say, I hate saying it complicates it because the intention is good. Let's get this paperwork done and help out the self-directed provider. But at the end of the day, it actually ends up making the work almost double at some point for the client.
Right, right. That's a good point. You know, and that's one of the challenges we run into. And especially, maybe you can talk to us about this. Here's a pain point from the sponsor side, is that we have now all, you know, everything has gone platform. Like we use, you know, whether you're using Syndication Pro or InvestNext or Groundbreaker, whatever it is you're using, right? Everybody's using these online platforms, but then getting the right pages that the IRA company needs to sign back and then getting those to the individual that they have to sign and then somebody has to write read and approved on it. And then there's all this like melee of paperwork, right? That just has pages from here, pages from there. And then you're just mashing it all together in a file and going, gosh, that's a really messy file. Is there a way around that?
It depends. I mean, that's kind of where we try to be as forward thinking as possible and you know, working with those platforms when possible. You know, we certainly have signed, we can sign things electronically. We utilize DocuSign, hopefully make the process easier. We can sign on behalf of clients using DocuSign and that paperwork, getting things read and approved. We try to as well. I mean, you know, whether it's you're using the online platform or not, we can get the client's approval on it. We can get the document signed and simply then just upload, hey, here is the final subscription agreement,
right?
One PDF document to the actual syndicator. Now, how well that dovetails sometimes with the online platforms is maybe a little bit different, but you know, that's what we try to do. We don't, here's what the client sent back. And then, you know, a day later, we're going to send you what we signed. We'll just send it to you all at once. Here's the one final PDF.
Yeah. And I think that sets you guys apart from some of your competition, because I've not yet had anybody else come at me and say, hey, you know, just send us the subscription agreement. We'll take care of it and get it back to you. That's not been a conversation I've had. And I've interfaced with a lot of companies around the country. And so, you know, good for you guys for doing that, because that would solve a lot of the headache that we as deal sponsors are running into. Is there anything else that we should be doing that would expedite the process? I like that one, because I mean, that's straightforward and simple. There's nothing better than, hey, give it to me, I'll take care of it. Like, that's beautiful. So well done.
Yeah.
Is there anything else really that sponsors should be doing that make this capital raise side easier from self-directed accounts?
Yeah, I think it's the communication. And it's not, again, not saying that most syndicators do an excellent job of communicating and getting with us, hey, what's the status on this account or that account? Where are we at? But sometimes the communication does fall through. We're looking, you know, hey, we need feedback. From, you know, hey, we have a question on one of your documents, you know, hearing back pretty quickly. And also sometimes being a little bit of a liaison with the client, it can be difficult at times. I can onboard somebody with our company, get their account set up and get them moving along. And then their account manager is going to take it from there and complete the paperwork. And sometimes the investor maybe goes silent or thinks the process is done because I opened the application and got the money moved, and not realizing there's this other set of subscription documents and internal forms from Advana that need to be completed. And sometimes I think the syndicator can help out there too, to make it easier, where making sure that client knows that there's going to be additional paperwork, or if we are having trouble getting the client to complete it, giving them that extra little nudge, like, hey, can you just get back with Scott at Advanta? We need to get one more thing to wrap up and get it taken care of. That's going to make, again, the process easier. Again, I've said this a million times, but I'll always say it again. I think the hard thing for this syndicator is getting an investor. That's not something I've done, because I'm not a syndicator. I don't have to get in front and sit down at a table and convince somebody that their $50,000, $100,000 that they have should be invested with me and it's going to be a good investment. So you've done that hard work. That's a hard conversation, you know, to sell somebody on. The last thing you need is to tell that person it's an easy process to use their IRA to do it. And so you great conversation, you wraps up good, you shake hands, you walk out the door. And then within the next few days, it's fallen apart because, you know, they think it's a difficult process. They think it's what's this wrench that got thrown into the plans? And that's where we try to make it very simple and easy. You know, you connecting them with us up front so we can have that initial conversation. And then when it's time to do the paperwork for the investment too, making sure that process goes very smoothly as well. Again, it's all about that communication. And that's what I think with some of the syndicators we work with, that they have repeat investors and they're very happy with our service. They have great communication with them. I send them an email. I hear back within a, you know, short time after that. And the same thing that works the other way as well. We want you to be able to contact us and hear back within a short time, not waiting a day or two for an answer. That's something that's very quick.
Right. No, I think that's great. That's great. Scott, you've given us a lot of things to think about here today and a lot of just very good points for us as sponsors and how we can effectively use self-directed accounts inside of our opportunities. This has been great. Let's jump here into the final four. The first question is this: what is one piece of advice that you would give to an aspiring investor?
Network, grow your network, meet people, ask questions. And I think that's a good way to sometimes expand your network when you're meeting with people. If you don't know the answer, ask, and there's going to be somebody that has an answer who's been there, done that. And that in turn will be another contact for you, someone else to lean on. I think that's important to find not just a network of people who might have investments for you to make, but also a network of people that you can rely on when you have that question that you're not sure of and you want that backup. That's a key thing, is surrounding yourself with that network of professionals, network of trusted advisors, even trusted friends to get you those answers.
Right. That's great. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Always doing my due diligence on what I'm investing in and thinking about it. What's a long-term strategy and how that works, obviously, with what my long-term goals are, and making sure that my investments are aligned with that as well.
That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
That's a good question. I think investing, that's a really good question, Sam. Investing, as far as money investing, I'm not sure, but certainly investing in people and helping to, you know, I train our staff to be honest, transparent, forward thinking, progressive, and also certainly being proactive in helping with people. Again, that's just, we treat our clients how we want to be treated, and that just furthers down the line everybody's positive thinking.
Absolutely, man. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's great. Scott, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or find out more about Advanta IRA, how do they do that?
You go to AdvantaIRA.com, certainly to get more information about our company and what we do. But to reach me directly, just give me a call. My number is 727-581-9853. And my direct extension is 1123. So you dial that number, you're getting me on the phone. You're not getting someone else in our office. So, and I'm always more than happy, again, whether it's an individual investor, whether it's a syndicator, to have that long conversation to really, you know, make sure everybody's on board, everybody understands what they're doing. So yeah, just reach me at that number.
Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it being on today.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.